Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not so new, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad that you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very excited to have Cliff Beach with us today. Cliff is a singer, songwriter, keyboardist, previously headlined Target Sundays at the California African American Museum for Black History Month, as well as their July 4th extravaganza, was a featured musical act at TEDx Napa Valley, also the host of the Deeper Grooves podcast and Deeper Grooves Radio Hour on the independent 88.5 FM. You can find them at 88.5fm.org. 4 Global Music Awards, John Lennon Singing Writing Contest, other songwriting awards, there are a lot of them, so I'm not trying to dismiss them or whatever, but we could be here all day talking about that. Cliff's also the house band for Josh Gates Tonight on Discovery, and his song Confident has over 650,000 streams on Spotify and going. So there's a whole lot of credentials for you to get started. Hi, Cliff. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Hello, Ken. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's our pleasure. You're no stranger to Christmas music. I know you released a couple singles before the album that we're going to talk about. A few years ago, a version of This Christmas, and then in 2019, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. Both of those appear on the new album, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And why, I guess, first off, what led you to record a Christmas album?
Well, I've always wanted to record a Christmas holiday album. There's so many great Christmas music repertoire, obviously, the traditional and gospel and hymn type stuff all the way through, you know, the jazz era into the 1950s, 60s with a lot of great music. And last year during the pandemic, I was commissioned by the city of Los Angeles, Rex and Parks Department, to put on a virtual Christmas concert. We recorded in October, it was released into December of 2020. And so gathering all the assets to put that show together with me and my arranger, Evan Mackey, who arranges my horn parts, we had created a great flow of jazz and blues and R&B and soul music put together for that concert. And so I thought, wow, I've always wanted to do a Christmas album. And I've teased a few Christmas singles. I feel like this is the time for us to do it because we had just done all these fresh arrangements. Let's go into the studio after Christmas. So in January of this year, we went into the studio to start recording the basic tracks at Moose Cat Recording in Los Angeles to be able to get that done. So I've always loved Christmas music. Christmas is my favorite time of year. I am a December baby, born on December 18th, a week before Christmas, many, many years ago. And so it just always had a special place in my heart. And there's so many iconic Christmas albums from Nat King Cole to Frank Sinatra to Dean Martin, all those people, and Bing Crosby and Burl Ives. And I love all of that. But then I also love, you know, some of the soulful stuff done by Motown and James Brown and Clarence Carter and Rufus Thomas and a bunch of other people. So I wanted to be able to showcase a good mix of all of those, some songs that are really well known, some songs that are kind of B-sides, lesser known, but still by great artists. And then obviously I wanted to write an original song for that concert, which I then also put as the title track for the album.
I want to talk a little bit about, if time allows, about all of the song choices that you made on here. But the first one that I have to ask about is Soulful Christmas. It kind of sticks out because it's one that you don't hear very often. It's a James Brown song, and you don't, it's not one of those that leaps to mind when you think of Christmas music. And I'm just curious how that one came to you.
Yeah, well, when I was asked by the city to do a concert, it was coined a funky Christmas. And so when I thought of funk Christmas songs, that one definitely came to mind. Obviously, I love the James Brown Christmas album. Soulful Christmas is, I think, the single that sticks out the most. Second to a song called, I think, Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto, which I also love. But I love, and you're right, when I was looking to see, you know, different versions of all of these songs, the James Brown one didn't really have any covers. The only cover that I know about by a famous artist was done maybe 10 years ago or more by Faith Evans. But yeah, it does not get the play and recognition I think it should, because it's, and similar to when I was writing the title track, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, I wanted to be able to have songs that, like, they're so funky and so good that, like, it's almost not a Christmas song, even though it's talking about Christmas. I wanted to have something like, if I heard it in July, I would still love it the same. And I feel like that's what Soulful Christmas is to me. I love James Brown, all of his music, you know, Sex Machine and a bunch of other stuff. But I think I would like to hear more soulful, funky Christmas tunes. A lot of them still towards like jazz and traditional. And we did a whole holiday album with no sleigh bells, because I wanted it to be able to live on where people could say, oh, I, you know, my favorite thing sounds cool, but it could also go in the jazz idiom and then be played other times of the year. So some people love Christmas music. You know, some people, you know, it can become a little too much for them over a month or 2 months of playing it. But the people that really love it. And that's what I made this album for. But I also made it for those French people that may have a liking to Christmas music, but this music will be more palatable in a way, less on the Christmas side, more on the funk soul side.
And it's interesting, James Brown recorded, I think, two full Christmas albums and a handful of singles. And listening to them, they're a little bit dated because of the 60s and 70s time periods that they came out, but they're great songs and you don't hear them a lot. And people today are even surprised to know that James Brown recorded Christmas music. So I think it's great that you covered that and you're going to help people remember a terrific song that just doesn't get played that much in the holidays anymore.
Yeah, I hope so, for sure. I mean, I love James just in general. I think showmanship and sheer energy and his vocal squeals are legendary. But yeah, the Christmas album, I think, much less known than some of his other great works, but I think it definitely stands out as being uniquely him. And again, I think the songs, at least musically, sound like they could have been any lyrical content. And then they added, you know, Christmas lyrics to them to make it holiday. But the funk and soul vibe of them could have been on the par with a Sex Machine.
And then almost 180 degrees from that, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, a song that you had released as a single a couple of years ago. It swings and it's cool and it's completely different than Soulful Christmas.
Yeah, and it's completely different from obviously the original from Dr. Seuss's Grinch movie, right? Because it was so operatic, you know, the way that they did it had these really elongated stops, and I love the Jim Carrey remake of it, and I feel like he did an amazing job covering it and doing the character voices. But I wanted to take it out of the caricature realm into a more soul kind of Ray Charles meets Stray Cats vibe. So it's got a little bit of like a Hit the Road Jack feel to it. And I did that because I wanted to, again, make it a song that, you know, people would be like, oh, I wouldn't have heard it that way, or I wouldn't have thought it could be done in that style. So we have very short stops going right back into the verses. And so it moves along. I mean, it has a lot of lyrics and a lot of verses, and then we tag on kind of a tag ending that adds a little bit of a Fats Waller kind of tune, Fat and Greasy as well. So we try to make, whenever we're doing jazz, we try to make these kind of quotations, which are very popular within jazz too, of other songs and allusions to them. And they're kind of like Easter eggs for the music nerds that, you know, really kind of know that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I love The Grinch. It's one of my favorite movies. And I always clarify with people that The Grinch does not hate Christmas. He technically hates people, or in that case, the people of the town that have been bullying him in some way. And so, but I love the fact at the end where, you know, everything changes for him, and his heart grows, you know, four times its size. Because I think that's really what the season is all about, really spreading that love. And I love things like The Sound of Christmas, because I feel like, for me, I like to listen to Christmas music at other times of the year and just kind of, you know, in the heat of the summer, think about the cooler times of the winter. And again, because my favorite season, I wish we celebrated it more than once a year, not just for the gifts, but just the seasonality and the vibe. I definitely love Christmas music. I cannot say I'm a huge fan of Christmas movies. I don't know if we're going to get into that topic, but yeah, they're completely different in my mind. So I don't watch a lot of those, but they do utilize a lot of music. And so with licensing and stuff, that's always a good opportunity for musicians to fall in there. And you know, Christmas is coming every year. So this content is very evergreen, that can last pretty much a lifetime of an artist.
What I really love about your album is that it really demonstrates all the different kind of genres that are in Christmas music, because you've got the jazziness of the Grinch coming right after Chuck Berry's Rocker Run Rudolph Run. It's terrific the way they fit together.
Yeah, and that's a song that I've always loved too, and I love Chuck Berry. I think pretty much almost every Chuck Berry song sounds a little bit like Johnny B. Goode to me, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But again, a song that doesn't get done. I think it's also often misnamed. So I always call it, you know, Run. Well, it's called Run Rudolph Run, but I think it's Run Run Rudolph, the way I've always called it. But it's technically Run Rudolph Run. But I like his original recording, to me, sounds very loose in the same way that the James Brown stuff sounds really loose. I think they're just kind of getting people in the studio and letting them do what they do well, and they're not kind of trying to be anything that they're not. So they're not listening to, you know, traditional Christmas music, Jingle Bells or whatever, and saying like, oh, we should do that. They're just like, let's do our own thing. And but then, you know, we hear them so much that eventually, like, it feels like it's always been with us, and then we forget, like, oh, that was written by Chuck Berry. That's not like a traditional song, just like Rudolph isn't traditional. That was Gene Autry. So or I don't know if that was Gene Autry. Frosty was Gene Autry, but at the same time period in the 50s, both of those songs came out. So, but I've known them like my whole childhood, my whole life. So for me, they all feel almost traditional, like they've just been around since the beginning of time, or the beginning of Christmas. And at least the sentiment of them was there. But yeah, I love the rocking feeling of Chuck Berry. And again, that was the point of the album, to show, you know, there's jazz, there's R&B, there's blues, there's rock, there's funk, there's soul, all mixed into to Christmas. And if you listen to a station that plays nothing but Christmas, you probably will hear a little bit of all of them. So, you know, I love like Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, and watching the video of the live concert where a full Santa and sleigh come on. Just ridiculously over the top, but it's fun. You can tell that it's like, you know, we at no level of an artist should you take yourself so seriously that you can't throw on a Christmas hat and make a fool of yourself in a good way.
And I remember I was in traditional radio for a long time. And one of my first jobs in radio had me working Christmas Eve through Christmas Day, because I was the new guy. So I was in there for like 12-hour shifts, and then a few hours on the station sofa, and then back in there again. And here's a whole box of Christmas 45s. Have a good time with it. And that was the first time I had ever heard Louis Armstrong, "Zat You, Santa Claus." And that's another one that you've covered on this that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely a song that I came across on some Christmas playlists on Spotify or YouTube somewhere. And I was like, wow, this is a really cool song. And there's a few different versions. I think Big Voodoo Daddy does it and some other people. But yeah, it's definitely not a well-known Christmas thing. He does a few other Christmas 45s as well. I think like Cool Yule and a bunch of other stuff. But I love the vibe of this. It almost sounds like, kind of has a Halloween feel to me into Christmas. You're kind of like got this scary version of Santa where he's peeping through the keyhole. It's either Santa is just a scary apparition, or something is happening in the spooky vibe, or he's like living in Brooklyn about to get robbed or something. That's the feeling of what I think is happening in there. But I like it. I like it because, I mean, Louis obviously has like just an iconic voice, mm-hmm. but it's just, and I definitely didn't want to make myself sound like him, but I like the way he utilizes his voice and build a character around it. And so that's kind of the vibe that we wanted to do. And again, I did want to pick some lesser known B-sides, because the other thing with Christmas is that there's so many songs that are so popular that we hear so many versions, but then like we hear it all the time. So if we cut on different radio stations, you know, we'll hear the traditional, like the Silent Nights, but also like Frosty the Snowman, which we also did on the album, but in a different way too. And so, yeah, I think these songs should be done more, and I would love to flip to more B-sides on radio so that people can say, oh, like, I'm not familiar with that song, but everyone to a certain point knows Louis Armstrong. So I feel like right. That is a good bridge to bring them in. But yeah, again, not covered much.
One of the things I liked about That You Santa Claus, and you're exactly right, it's a little creepy, it's a little scary. And I think as kids, that's sort of how you feel about Santa, because you know he's watching. And anytime you have been in the mall and seen kids waiting in line, there's some that are just terrified. And and it is. That's just a whole part of the Christmas experience and going to see Santa. That's childhood. Everybody has a memory of either being scared of Santa or knowing somebody who was when you're really little. And sometimes that's the first adult that your parents give you to when you're waiting in line, and and this is not a family member. This is not a teacher. This is somebody else who's always watching you. And it is a little scary, but we go from Louis Armstrong to a really nice bluesy track of your take on Merry Christmas Baby.
Yeah, and I love Merry Christmas Baby. And I remember I was talking to my girlfriend Jill about it, and she was like, oh, it's Bruce Springsteen. I was like, well, yes, he does a version, but I mean, I love B.B. King's version, but even the original Charles Brown, and he was part of the original group that did it. I think it's definitely a song that's been around. I feel like it's semi pretty well known, but I really wanted to play up the horns and the stop time of the blues feel, really getting into the grit and the soul of Merry Christmas Baby. And I like the line in it where he says, like, I haven't had a drink all evening, but I'm still lit up, you know. It's like that's what I think it's about. It's like I no longer drink alcohol, and so but I can still get that feeling from the songs. And I think the jubilation of Christmas and it just has like a very sultry, sensual vibe to it too that I like, and I wanted to bring a little bit more of that out to the tune too.
And you know, you were talking about recording this starting in January, and for a lot of people who aren't in music or who aren't in radio or promotion or any of that kind of stuff, you don't realize how much it takes to be able to get some Christmas music out there, because people like to just think about it as the day after Thanksgiving to the end of the year. That's it. But to be able to have your music there, it's got to be written and it's got to be recorded. And so you've got to learn it and you've got to practice it. And then you've got to put it down and get it recorded and get it mixed and do all of that stuff. And everything takes time to be able to do it. And I'm reminded of that every time I hear the Christmas song, because Mel Torme very famously recorded that in the hot months of summer and had Christmas lights up in the studio to try and get in the spirit. And you have a really nice, just drenched in emotion version of the Christmas song on here. And was there anything that you had to do when you're recording this stuff way out of season to sort of get into the spirit and capture that emotion?
That's a great question. I think when I think of Christmas music, the Christmas song or Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, I think is one of the most iconic of the last, you know, 100 years of Christmas music. And I don't think everybody realizes that Mel Torme is one of the songwriters on there, obviously, most famously done by Nat King Cole, who did multiple versions, I think, from the 40s into the 60s for it. But it gives you like that. It gives you that sitting warmth by the fire, crackling fire vibe to it. And obviously, I mean, the original version has just this amazing string arrangement and is super well known. I remember in the 90s, I believe, Mel Torme was like during Christmas time on MTV, and he played like a solo version of it. He did multiple versions throughout his career, adding in other quotations of other songs in there. And I love the guitar on that track at the end. I do it on the keyboard on my track, but when they go into the quotation of Jingle Bells as well. So I think for me, if I was going to say, do I have a favorite Christmas song? I would think the Christmas song would be it. I think it just kind of, the imagery and the wording of what the words that he used in there, it almost reminds me kind of the imagery that's in a song like Misty. But I really like, again, yeah, I remember that they were like writing it during the hottest month of July. And that's why I think people have Christmas in July, because like it's so far away, but you can still think forward thinking into Christmas. And again, it comes every year. And so people are like to look forward to things. And a lot of people do look forward to that time with friends and family and eggnog and whatnot. But yeah, I thought for our version, we try to do it very light, very pretty, I guess, if you will, compared to some of the more guttural vocals on other stuff. And it was a challenge for me because I don't do a lot of ballads normally in my other material. And so obviously ballads allow you space, but then they also take a little bit more technique to be able to, you know, there's not as many places to hide as there are in fast songs. And so I really enjoyed being able to bring a song that I've been listening to my entire childhood, my whole life, into my own version and do it justice. I mean, not merely trying to compete with the version before, but just doing it uniquely and in my own way. But I would definitely say that's one of my favorite tracks.
And then with all of that said about all these other songs and versions, whether people listening to this podcast are familiar with them or not, it has to be a little bit daunting when you've recorded several of these songs that have stood the test of time for decades, and then decide you're going to do your own original song, and you're going to write it, and you're going to record it, and add it after all of these, some would consider legendary songs, to be able to do that. It has to be, on the one hand, it's got to be a great feeling to know you're adding something to the Christmas music canon. But on the other hand, it's got to be almost a little scary to be wading into that. Did you feel that when you were writing the title track, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year?
I did. But you know, I feel like you look at Jose Feliciano at the time where he wrote Feliz Navidad, there was no kind of Spanish, Spanglish Christmas song. And that obviously became a classic and was played all the time, so many different versions. And I was in either the 60s or 70s. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we wouldn't have Frosty the Snowman or Run Rudolph Run or any of these songs if songwriters said, you know, everything else has been written and said, and there's no reason to do something new. Or even, you know, look at like an iconic Mariah Carey Christmas album, doing All I Want for Christmas Is You. I think that's how we get those new classics out there, by having someone that says, you know what, I'm going to do my thing. And you know, Christmas, for me, I used to always watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and I love Minus and Lucy and all the songs that Vince Guaraldi did. But I have also been, since childhood, a huge Peanuts fan, particularly Snoopy. And my mom would always give me, like, for my birthday around Christmas time and Christmas time, Snoopy cards. And I had a card where Charles Schulz wrote for Snoopy. It just said, be you. No one can ever tell you that you're doing you wrong. And that's basically the philosophy that I live in life and with music. And so I think, yeah. So what, there's like 100 versions of the Christmas song. Why can't we have 101? And no matter what version is out there, it will never be you. Just like all snowflakes are unique, so are you. And everybody has their X factor and our product of experience and environment. And, you know, the filter of us pushing that out into the world is going to be different. So I was super excited. And then as far as writing my own song, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, the title track of the album, my horn arranger, Evan Mackey, who's also my trombonist, when I sent him just a very quick and dirty iPhone demo of it as it was preparing for the virtual Christmas concert, he sent me a message back in a text that basically said, like, I have funk face. which means that he really likes it because he's making that scrunched up face that you get when you hear something that's just skunky, funky, stinky funk. And so we knew that we had like a really good beat and rhythm around it from there. And I wanted the lyrics to kind of to go more towards the love of someone special during the holiday and the love of the holiday, but also just really have this driving funk force behind it that was like, man, this song is so good. I would listen to it all year round.
Well, I know we didn't hit every single song. I want to leave a little bit of mystery to people when they seek this out. The name of the album is Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. It's by Cliff Beach. I know once you accomplish this and you have created this Christmas album and it's out there now, what's up for you next? Do you have a plan for the next music, or are you going to, I don't want to say coast, but, you know, promote and do the stuff for this album and then think about something new, or do you already have something on your agenda?
Well, I always have something on the agenda. So I know for sure in 2022, next year, I'll be releasing an EP. I'm still kicking around tentative titles, but obviously my name is Cliff Beach. I've had Cliff Beach in a few different titles. Who the Funk is Cliff Beach and the Gospel According to Cliff Beach. I think tentatively right now the EP will be called Son of a Beach, but but I'm not sure. But yeah, that'll have 5 to 6 tracks on it. And I think, and then also starting in January, I'll be doing promotions. I have my first ever self-help book that's being published by Black Spring Press worldwide. And yeah, so a 275-page book. We're just wrapping up the final touches for that. I will be releasing an audio book at some point after the print book comes out in the first quarter of next year. So the name of the book is Side Hustle and Flow. So it basically profiles my music career for the last 20 years, but also not everybody knows that I do music full-time and I work, you know, for another place full-time as the vice president of digital for a beauty company. And so I think a lot of people need to figure out ways that they can have a balance in life to be able to work and be able to monetize and sustain themselves, but at the same time, also be able to get out there creative and artistic and endeavors. And living in Los Angeles, there's a lot of people doing that with multiple jobs. We call it the Hollywood shuffle. And so, yeah, I just want that idea to get out there, whether you're doing it in a big way or a small way. I think we'll be happier as a society if we are doing that. So it's like, why not do a podcast on the side? Why not do a radio show on the side? Why not do some music gigs here on the side or teach music on the side or whatever it is? It doesn't have to be music related. It could be literally anything. I mean, if I have friends that are training to do marathons or people that are training to do yoga or meditation or whatever. It's like, whatever it is, it's going to make you happy and feel fulfilled. And a lot of times work is not bad. And so I think you need to have those outlets. For me, music is a huge outlet in that way. And I've been able to make money and do other things. But the beauty of working full time outside of music is that when I do music, I get to be very selective of the projects that I do. I don't have to necessarily do something just to make money. So I can do something because I love it. And that's the goal. So that's what Side Hustle and Flow, the book, is about. And then hopefully Son of a Beach EP also in the next year.
Any chance there will be a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year Volume 2 down the road?
You know, I don't know if we'll do a Volume 2, but I definitely see more Christmas singles in the future. I just did another acapella version of Jingle Bells just for licensing, so that's not out. So we probably will release that, if not this year, next year. But and that was a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, licensing with public domain, people always want to do stuff. And there's so many cool versions of Jingle Bells. One of my favorites is Ella Fitzgerald's version. And but Frank Sinatra does a great version, too. And I had forgotten, like, how old Jingle Bells is. Because usually when I think of, like, public domain and old songs, they sound really old. Where I feel like Jingle Bells still sounds a little hip, I guess, for the season. It doesn't sound like 100 years old. So that was cool to be able to do that. And it's always keeping me thinking, because obviously working with a band, I only play, I sing and play keyboard and I arrange a lot of background vocals, but when I'm doing some acapella, like I get to understand, like, what is the bass player thinking? And I'm doing like beatbox, and like, what's a percussionist or drummer thinking? And so know, it's just different ways to express ourselves. And I love a cappella music. One of my favorite holiday albums is by Take Six, the group, and they have two holiday albums, but they do a song with Stevie Wonder, Tell Us Good Tidings or something like that. It's really good. And so I think Pentatonix did an amazing Christmas a cappella thing too, specials and stuff. So I really enjoy that part of the music. It's not something I do all the time, but every now and then I'll drop some a cappella single just because I love that style of music. I mean, obviously Bob McFerrin and things like that, my hand transfer. But I don't know if I'll do like a full album again. I really am super pleased with the 10 songs that we brought out for this album. I think that's a great capstone on the season. And the last year I've been doing nothing but commissioned artworks. I had 3 or 4 done by an artist in LA, Noah Gottlieb, who also did the Christmas album. And so we have a very, it almost looks like kind of like Norman Rockwell style, but it's like actual oil to canvas breast for the cover of the album. So I think it would be hard to top that in a volume 2, but I think definitely some other singles for holiday will come out in the next couple of years.
Very cool. Just thinking about all the great a cappella music from the last, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years. Are you familiar with the Nylons?
I am not.
I think you'd like that. They do a great a cappella Carol of the Bells. It's just beautiful. And that's really a song that just shines when you're doing it a cappella. It's terrific.
I haven't heard that. I'll have to check it out. I mean, there's obviously the more traditional version, but then there's like, what is it? Something Steamroller?
They do Mannheim Steamroller. Yeah.
Mannheim Steamroller, yeah. That one I hear like every season. And I'm like, oh man, it makes me feel like I need to rush out for Black Friday sales or whatever is happening.
That song, Mannheim Steamroller's version of that song, is the one that I can hear any time of year and instantly get that Christmas feeling. Instantly. Running the Sounds of Christmas, there aren't a lot of songs I can say that about, but that is still one that I can hear, and I just instantly have that warm holiday feeling. It's just a great song. It's just a great version. If you want to find out more about Cliff, you can check out cliffbeachmusic.com. You can also find him, look up Cliff Beach on Facebook and on Twitter, although I think you post more probably to Instagram than either of those two.
They're all linked together. So at Cliff Beach Music for all social media.
Okay, terrific. Anything else anybody should know about you or about any of your projects coming up?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, for me, I think the main thing is, you know, in between all of the music, obviously we have Confident on Spotify at 650,000 streams. We can always use more. So definitely check that out. That features Mestizo Beat, a great LA band that's also on my label, California Soul Music, which is at californiasoulmusic.com. Mestizo Beat also is featured on The Grinch, that's on the Christmas album. So they're just another great band and friends of mine that I really like. And then, I would say if you want to check us out, obviously this podcast is great. We have a podcast, Deeper Grooves Podcast. It's about 30 episodes. We'll be launching another 10 in the new year as well, which I didn't mention. And then obviously every Friday night, I have a Deeper Grooves Radio Hour on 885FM.org. And so that comes on 9 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be playing tonight and other Friday nights. But you can also see the archive there on 885FM.org as well.
Cool. That's terrific. It has been a lot of fun talking Christmas music with you, Cliff. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me, and keep doing what you're doing at The Sound of Christmas. It's great work, and I look forward to an amazing holiday season.
And thank you for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. We're on a bunch of different podcasting sites now, and since you're listening, you obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. Again, the website is www.soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through our website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.